And we are back with When Worlds Collide here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have Dan in Texas and Mark in Kentucky who have been patiently waiting during these messages at the top of the hour. Our guest is William Norman Gregg. Dan, are you still there?
Yes, sir. Hi.
It's great that you called in. I'm taking them in the order we're received. What is your concern or question, Dan?
I was went to the police academy in 1995. I was 55 years old. So I said, too, it'll be a policeman. I could be a constable. I ended up being a corrections officer in a jail. And what I want to call you for, though, when I was in the police academy, it was a really fascinating thing. I got to go free because I'm a veteran. In Texas, you go to the police academy if you're a veteran.
Hmm.
And regardless of age. And so I did it for fun. And anyway, but the bottom line is I became a correctional officer. But then when I was there, they had U.S. Marshal for an instructor, a Texas Ranger retired for an instructor, and HPD and all this stuff, you know, constable, all different type of peace officers. But the U.S. Marshal's mission there was to, the first day or so of class, you know, a sheet of paper had yes and no big letters and check thing next to yes or no. And he said, this is not really serious, we're doing for the fun of it, but if you were a U.S. Marshal and you were told to kick people's doors, houses, front door in 2 o'clock in the morning, take their guns away from them, and literally throw their wife in the floor out of their sheets and take their guns, would you do it? Well, 3 months later, after graduating, we were about to graduate, he came back and he did it for real. He said, well, this time we will know for real if the government passes the law, we're going to take people's guns, would you do that? You will be a U.S. Marshal. If you check yes, you can apply. If you don't, get lost. Be a U.S. Marshal. So, Rick, the U.S. Marshals, guys are only agreed to be willing to, you know, kick people's houses and doors in and take the guns away from them. And the other thing is, to the HPD retired officer, they were looking for people who would definitely be willing to go to people who are demonstrating against abortion. They're looking for HPD officers that are ready and be willing to rough up anti-abortion demonstrations. So legal abortions on the sidewalk, whatever. They made it very well. We want to rough these people up. We want to throw them around. And they're looking for guys that are willing to do that before they accept them into the BHPD. He's a police department. So that's what I thought you should know, that they're ready. They've got the U.S. Marshals all rigged up now to take our guns away from us.
Well, it's interesting bring up the Marshal Service, because just about a week or so ago, I tried to interview a marshal from Boise, who's part of the Judicial Protection Unit of the U.S. Marshal Service. There's a case involving a gun dealer from Twin Falls, Idaho. He runs an outfit called Red's Trading Post. It's the oldest gun dealer in Idaho. Family-owned business, thoroughly reputable. Ironically enough, it provides firearms to state and local law enforcement, among other customers. And they've gotten crosswise with the ATF, which is a very easy thing to do. The ATF, by the way, grew directly out of Prohibition. It was a tax collection agency during Prohibition. They were looking for something to do after Prohibition was rescinded. So they went into the business of regulating tobacco and firearms as well as alcohol, and now, of course, they're probably the most notoriously corrupt of the many notoriously corrupt agencies that are involved in federal law enforcement. But this trading post, Red's Trading Post, has been involved in a 7 or 8 year battle with the ATF, and it's become a cause celeb for people like myself who believe in the unalienable right of individuals to armed self-defense. They recently had a federal trial before Judge Lodge, Edward C. Lodge. He was involved in the Randy Weaver trial, interestingly enough, here in Boise. And after the trial, the proprietor of Red's Trading Post was instructed to go into a little room where he was accosted by this U.S. Marshal, who told him that he had been following the blog run by this fellow. His name is Ryan Horsley. Ryan Horsley's blog is basically a very sedate description of his experiences with the ATF. This marshal pulled out about a 4-inch thick file on Ryan Horsley and told him that it was against federal law to be intimidating federal law enforcement officers, and if there was something published on his blog that he didn't like, he'd come down to Twin Falls and arrest him.
Okay, gentlemen, we have a break coming up. We'll be right back with William Norman Gregg, our guest here on When Worlds Collide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I asked the other caller to hang on. And, Dan, you can stay with us a little bit longer if you'd like.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. Love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Looked up lately? Have you seen those crisscross trails that hang in the atmosphere long after a plane has passed over? Some are chemtrails, and they may be causing your health problems. It's a fact. Various governments, including the U.S., have been spraying chemicals in our upper atmosphere for years. Chemtrails is a very real cause of many health problems, like pain, respiratory, or immune deficiencies that appear seemingly out of nowhere. But now, your chronic illness can be helped. Introducing ChemBuster. ChemBuster is a natural remedy designed to combat and break through health problems caused by chemtrails. ChemBuster.us has more information and a special internet-only offer of just $17 per bottle. That's ChemBuster.us. Try ChemBuster yourself. Recommend to your sick friends and relatives, and after saving $2 on your first bottle, you'll save an additional $7 on your second bottle. Visit ChemBuster.us for important information and a special internet-only offer. That's ChemBuster.us.
The election cycle draws near, and we don't have much time left. If the American people truly hope to make a change in Washington, then we must act now with a cohesive plan for taking back our government. Washington, You're Fired is a new patriotic documentary from the director of Beyond Treason. The video is the result of a two-year endeavor to assemble a video tool for engaging, educating, and motivating the American people to climb back into the driver's seat of Congress. Washington, You're Fired lays out the last 7 years of fundamentally flawed terror-related spy bills in a linear fashion that no one has ever constructed before. The resulting shift in our governmental power structure leaves the American people with only two choices: be a part of the problem or be a part of the solution. Washington, You're Fired is being described as the best patriotic video since Freedom to Fascism, and we want you to get a copy and share it with your friends. We invite you to make the change. Help take back our government now. Go to TakeBackWashington.com and get the tools you need for the information war. We have a plan to take back our government. Visit TakeBackWashington.com.
And we're back on When Worlds Collide here on the Republic Broadcasting Network with our guest, William Norman Grigg. We still have a couple callers on. We have a gentleman from Texas as well as Mark from Kentucky. Dan, are you still with us?
Yes, I would say one more thing, too, if I could.
Yeah, if you could add just one more brief thing for us, that would be fine.
When I was a corrections officer, I would know what you call a Hollywood corrections officer. And some guys get a job where they sit out the bar and stare at the prisoners and laugh at them like monkeys in a cage. I, however, was not a Hollywood corrections officer. I was inside the cage with the monkeys in case trouble broke out. And I got to be there night when they were sleeping and talking among themselves and got to hear how some Pacific guys like to rape women with blonde hair specifically. And then I'd like to point out that a lot of the Mexicans come up here looking for trouble, not for jobs.
Hmm.
They made that very clear when they were talking among themselves, not knowing I was listening to them.
Interesting. It's amazing hearing from people who have been on the inside.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate your input, Dan. Very great, very good for you to call the show.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mark in Kentucky, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here, sir. And
thanks for holding.
All, like
sorry for the wait
for,
there.
What's that, sir?
Sorry for the wait there. We did, thanks for holding on with us. What question or comment do you have for either myself or our guest, William Norman Grigg?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is that, I don't think people should misunderstand what's going on. Not every single police officer out there despite their training, are highly militarized that way. Excuse me. I've talked to some police officers, and beyond a doubt, you can tell by their demeanor what they believe and what they don't believe as far as what their duties are concerning their job. And, like, I talked to one police officer before, and he's a good guy, and he works at a local restaurant here because it's a 24-hour restaurant, and they get some pretty rowdy people in there late at night. And he said, you can tell the difference. He said there are certain police officers that are looking for a reason to put you in the jail, but there are certain police officers that are looking for reasons not to put you in jail. And they understand that they are certain police officers do understand that they are public servants, mm-hmm. Rather than just law enforcement officers. And to also understand that, you know, the way how the hell it's so militarized now in the police force, they actually dictate when you're allowed to wear short sleeve shirts or not. I mean, you have people of different body types and everything. Some people get cold or hot, depending upon the weather is at different times. And they literally will say, well, you can't wear a short sleeve shirt until this time of the month or until the sergeant basically deems it's reasonable for you to wear a short sleeve shirt or a short pair of pants. And here they are, you know, burning up or, you know, in hot weather or whatever because the sergeant doesn't give them permission to wear, you know, short sleeve shirts or pants and wearing a Kevlar vest. It's that controlled.
I'll
go on, Will.
Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I was just going to note that, I've had many good experiences with police, and you're absolutely right. There are a lot of good guys out there. I think it's just that it's this system, this apparatus under which they operate that may tend to discourage good people from joining, or if they do join, it may encourage them to maybe not stick with stick with police work. Is that a valid assumption, Will?
Well, that's my perception. Unfortunately, I do know that it's become much more difficult because of the increasing regimentation of law enforcement to find people who are capable of exercising the type of individual judgment and discretion that are the hallmarks of good police work. You know, police officers are trying to find a reason not to write you up, not to put you in jail, who understand that not all problems are amenable to the type of remedy that involves law enforcement. That type of discretion is becoming a thing of the past precisely because they're becoming so hyper-regimented. And the system is being engineered in such a way that really good, conscientious, public-spirited, genuinely service-oriented people are often cashiered from the system with extreme prejudice. The case of Ramon Perez in Austin is a really good example of that. Here's a guy who had a successful career and was a devout evangelical Christian and a lay preacher in an evangelical church who in his late 30s, early 40s decided he wanted to become a police officer in order to help his community. And he was the outstanding cadet in his class. He engendered trust and respect and loyalty from his peers. And within a year and a half, he'd been fired from the police department. The most salient problem he had with that police department was an incident in which he refused to use a taser against an elderly suspect who was being passively resistant. He wasn't violent. He wasn't armed. He didn't present a threat to the officers or to the community. He'd been given an illegal order, meaning an order which contradicted the explicit policy of the Austin Police Department with respect to the use of the taser, to employ the taser against the suspect, and he refused to do it. He said, it's not necessary. It'd be a violation of his constitutional rights to use a taser in this circumstance. They were able to take him into custody without the use of any kind of physical force, and yet he was written up for that, and that was the reason why he ended up in bad stead with the supervisors and was purged from the police department within a year and a half. And I can think of probably three or four other cases of a similar type, but that's probably the most egregious example that I can think of right away of somebody who is exactly the kind of a person you would like to see as a police officer who doesn't fit in with the new system.
Very good point, Will. So it doesn't just discourage good people from being police officers. It actually purges those who would be good police officers.
No, I think the thing of it is just to remember that despite the situations that are going on right now for people not to have any set opinions about the police officers, until, you know, it's more than obvious, it's clear what their attitude's going to be towards you. Never to jump to conclusions, because there are a lot of good police officers out there.
Yeah, it's always a good idea not to borrow trouble by making bad assumptions about people. And I should point out that the local police here in Payette, with whom I've had some difficulties in terms of policy, when our then 3-year-old son Jefferson went missing, they mobilized very quickly, and they were wonderfully professional and incredibly empathetic. Turned out that he had crawled into the space behind the headboard of a hide-a-bed and a wall. That was his favorite hiding place. But we had the entire police force of the Payette City PD, and not the biggest police force in the world, obviously. This is a town of 7,000 people. But the entire police force was combing the neighborhood frantically looking for our son. And every time I've run into Police Chief Clark, I've made a point of shaking his hand and thanking him. And that's a really good example of the fact that you are dealing with human beings here. I mean, these are people that do have the same set of motivations that most of us have. It's the system that's gone haywire here. And the system selects for people who can be indoctrinated in the ways that we're talking about, and it selects against people who are trying to hold fast for principle. And you have to go back and try to recalibrate the system. There's something fundamentally wrong when the loyalties and priorities are being re-engineered on the part of local police departments to fit in with this unitary system that's being imposed on us in the name of Homeland Security.
And, Will, was that not the case when other countries lost their freedom?
Yes.
The formerly independent police would become put in a straitjacket like this, and they would purge the good officers and centralize control?
Yeah, that's happened on numerous occasions. I saw it happen in Latin America. I was in Guatemala when they were undergoing a revolution of that sort. It wasn't a pleasant thing to see. And then, of course, they had the outright military coup, which was even less pleasant. You can take a look at what happened most notoriously in Nazi Germany, where the states had their own independent police departments and police agencies, and they were all consolidated in the name of what was called Gleichschaltung, or coordination. I talk about that in my book, Liberty and Eclipse, as well. The parallels are plentiful, and they're very scary, and there's not a counterexample you can cite where a formally decentralized and independent police system has been centralized without becoming an engine of tyranny. There is no precedent for that happening, but there are abundant precedents to the contrary in which that process has yielded unalloyed tyranny and mass murder.
Yeah, I believe you've even made the comparison to the East German secret police and how some of the things are operating in the United States. Have you not?
Well, the thing about the Stasi, the East German security or special police, secret police, that provides a really instructive parallel for what's going on right now is the fact that they have these really detailed dossiers on practically everybody that lived in that unfortunate country. And they also had honeycombed the entire population with informants. Practically everybody in that country is informing on everybody else. That's something else I pointed out in some of the Pro Libertate essays, the fact that there are tens of thousands of full-time paid federal snitches working for the DEA and for the FBI. Often they're not only snitches, they're not only informants, but they're provocateurs. These are people who are given incredible impunity to create crimes, to provoke people into doing things that are described as crimes, or simply to be wandering around looking to cut up trouble that's productive on behalf of the federal government. When you see that the budget authority for the FBI lists, I believe, is something like 20,000 people who are salaried informants, you got to believe that in a country where there are 25 or 30,000 police agencies, that you're dealing with a multiple of 20,000. You're probably dealing with several hundred thousand people who are in one capacity or another working as informants. That's very much the Stasi-type system at work, and it really has no place in a country that aspires to be a free republic. There is a place, of course, for people who report crimes in progress, report plausible suspicions of crimes. That's why, of course, the Constitution provides for warrants issuing on probable cause. But the fact that they would retain this huge army of informants and pests and provocateurs says something about the nature of the government that's ruling us and what its real priorities are.
Yeah, Mark, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yes. If anyone wants to actually see really good movie dealing in this, are you there, sir?
Yeah, we have just about 20 seconds.
Okay, if they ever want to see a really good movie dealing with the Stasi and all that, there's a foreign film called Other Lives.
The Lives of
Others.
And
it deals with the Stasi and right before the Berlin Wall fell down. and how
very
they deal
interesting.
With problems
very interesting. Yeah. Hey, appreciate your input, Mark. We'll be back right after this break with When Worlds Collide.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
World Products Now is introducing the new Detoxer foot and body pads that work while you're sleeping to pull heavy metals and toxins from the body. Our Detoxer pads release unwanted toxins, relieve stress and pain, and improves the immune system, circulation, and blockages all while you're sleeping. Very simply, you put one pad on each foot before bedtime and go to sleep. And when you wake up, the toxins that are drawn out of the body will be in the pads. You peel them off and throw them away. It's that simple. Call 908-691-2608. We encourage our customers to detox in as many ways as possible to bring the body back to a balance. The average person is exposed to hundreds of chemicals daily. This is one of the many powerful ways to detox the body. We recommend you try our Detoxer foot pads and see and feel the difference for yourself. Call today at 1-908-691-2608. Our Detoxer foot pads are vegan and environmentally friendly and do not contain chitosan. Call today, World Products Now, at 1-908-691-2608.
And we're back with When Worlds Collide here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Mark Anderson, your host. I write for American Free Press, a national newspaper. That's at AmericanFreePress.net or 888-699-NEWS for more subscription and other information. Our call-in number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Our guest today has been William Norman Gregg, a noted author and longtime journalist, looking into police and law enforcement abuse and centralization and federalization of law enforcement. I'm going to change gears a little bit based on some of your writings and talk about your friend and mine, George W. Bush.
Oh, yes.
I've, with good humor good humor and good insight, I think you've really taken apart the current occupation in Iraq, and you've really went to town with that. And you might say it's an extension of the law enforcement we're talking about today, only it goes the other direction. It goes overseas, and it involves the actual military rather than just the militarization of local law enforcement. You might say it's the flip side of the coin of
it is
what,
the opposite.
What is your most recent observation you might share with the audience on what's going on with our dear leader, the Grand Decider?
I do think that with respect to the issue of law enforcement abuses domestically as opposed to an imperialist foreign policy abroad, they're completely compatible with each other. As a matter of fact, they're entirely commingled. You can't have an imperial foreign policy without regimenting the domestic life of the people. Because
as James Madison warned about, I believe, was it not him?
Yeah, Madison pointed that out. And of course, Edmund Burke, the British statesman who was in many ways sympathetic to the American colonists and their revolution against the British crown, pointed out in a couple of essays he wrote. One was an essay he wrote to the sheriffs of Bristol and some of his constituents there in the Parliament. He pointed out that basically you really cannot have an imperial power that abuses the rights of any part of the domain that it claims without threatening the rights of everybody, including Englishmen living there in London and elsewhere on the actual island. And that's the same policy that a number of great Roman statesmen of antiquity, among them Cicero, pointed out. You can't be an imperial empire abroad and be a republic ruled by laws at home.
And when Cicero, it's been Madison, it's been across the centuries, people are warning of this.
And the thing that I find really interesting as well about what's going on with the occupation of Iraq, I mean, you're not really talking about a war so much as a protracted occupation, is that a lot of the really notorious methods of regimenting the population over there, the idea, for instance, of the clear and hold policy they talked about with reference to the surge, this much heralded surge that actually did nothing of any consequence in terms of stabilizing or providing some security to the people living in Iraq. Clear and hold is a phrase that actually entered the vocabulary in law enforcement here in the United States in the late 1990s. That's something else I write about in my book, how there are a lot of paramilitary task forces, particularly in places like San Jose, California, I believe is the town I mentioned specifically, where their approach was to say, we're going to maintain a visible presence, a heavily armed, conspicuous presence, and they're using military hardware and firearms that have been provided from the Pentagon in training. They're using training that have been provided to them by groups like the Navy SEALs in order to maintain a conspicuous presence in certain urban neighborhoods. And they actually started to use the expression clear and hold in the late 1990s with respect to domestic law enforcement. Now it's something that's migrated into the vernacular of the occupation tactics of the military in Iraq. The other thing that's important to recognize, there are two parts of this point I'd like to make, the first of which is that the reservists and guardsmen who are serving over in Iraq draw disproportionately from local and state law enforcement bodies. These are people who are being sent over there because they're part of the National Guard and the U.S. Army Reserve in the states where they live. But when they're here in their domestic life, their civilian life, they're often state troopers or deputy sheriffs or prison guards. As a matter of fact, they go to church with three or four people who served over in Iraq, and they're all law enforcement officers here when they're in their civilian lives. And the other thing that we should remember is that, strangely enough, if you've read accounts such as this book, Generation Kill, I can't remember the name of the author, he writes for Rolling Stone, but he followed a Marine unit around for about 6 or 8 months as an embedded reporter. They dealt with the aftermath of a number of what we would have to call atrocities or war crimes, where there have been indiscriminate attacks on various small towns or villages or neighborhoods in Iraq. And they found out that they were following in the wake of a notorious unit that was composed almost entirely of American law enforcement officers who were there as reservists. They were people who were wildly indiscriminate and horribly disproportionate in their use of force. They ended up creating a much bigger problem for the regular military, and the really strange thing is that the military actually came in and had to use the skills of diplomacy and pacification, not pacification through superior firepower, but pacification by actually reaching out to the community and trying to build bridges of trust. It was the military carrying out this role in the wake of this unit that had been composed of American law enforcement officers there as reservists.
Let's dwell there before the break hits us on the bottom of the hour. So the most abusive soldiers were those who were transplanted from here, police officers here in the States, and sent to the sands of Iraq. And so they're cops here. They go over there, and they're among the most abusive. That's truly a telling thing about what we're talking about.
It's perfectly terrifying.
Well, right after the bottom of the hour, we'll be back with William Norman Grigg. And you're listening to When Worlds Collide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us, Bill, in Idaho. We have a caller.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The election cycle draws near, and we don't have much time left. If the American people truly hope to make a change in Washington, then we must act now with a cohesive plan for taking back our government. Washington, You're Fired is a new patriotic documentary from the director of Beyond Treason. The video is the result of a two-year endeavor to assemble a video tool for engaging, educating, and motivating the American people to climb back into the driver's seat of Congress. Washington, You're Fired lays out the last 7 years of fundamentally flawed terror-related spy bills in a linear fashion that no one has ever constructed before. The resulting shift in our governmental power structure leaves the American people with only two choices: be a part of the problem or be a part of the solution. Washington, You're Fired is being described as the best patriotic video since Freedom to Fascism, and we want you to get a copy and share it with your friends. We invite you to make the change. Help take back our government now. Go to TakeBackWashington.com and get the tools you need for the information war. We have a plan to take back our government. Visit TakeBackWashington.com.
Do you want to know right now how you can drive around using water as fuel and laugh at rising gas costs? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has all the information you need to learn about a simple technology you can have right now. Gas Freedom is a do-it-yourself, affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses a little electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns beautifully and provides tons of energy, while the end product is just water. Visit GasFreedom.info now to learn more. In just 10 minutes, you will discover exactly how this is possible.
This is the secret the oil and auto industry doesn't want you to know.
Go to GasFreedom.info to learn how very easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car. Go to GasFreedom.info for this special offer. Turn any car into a hybrid for $300. Use the passcode RBN and receive $49 off. That's GasFreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. 239-628-3708.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
And we're back with William Norman Grigg, our guest today on When Worlds Collide, one of the newer shows here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Mark Anderson, national writer with American Free Press, a national news weekly at AmericanFreePress.net. And Will and I have been together going over another disturbing scenario of law enforcement in America becoming increasingly centralized and federalized and abusive and tyrannical as the decades have went by since Prohibition and the subsequent war on drugs. And we're also talking about the flip side of that, and that's our militaristic policies overseas, our interventionist, unconstitutional foreign policy, fighting unconstitutional, undeclared wars, and how we have to have tyranny at home in order to have an empire and an imperial army abroad. And this is a very broad and very interesting topic, and we do have a caller, I believe. Bill in Idaho, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Just wanted to thank you again, as usual. Excellent journalistic compression, if not reprise, of what's going on ultimately. Calling
Thank you.
From probably the most beautiful little tourist trap in the Pacific Northwest. We're the proud owners and a home of, via our academic community here in alliance with the local city council, of a PMC, and I have a follow-on real quick, a PMC named Backup. Backup is the little stepchild of Mr. Prince's Blackwater. Wondering if your guest, and I hope he is in touch, numbers at the board, in regard to how many of these relationships have been formed with city government and academic communities in local city communities around the country.
Are you talking about relationships with the Pentagon and the Department of Homeland Security or with quasi-private contractors of the Blackwater Stripe?
Both.
Both.
The fire chief, in an interview with a local chat-up group here locally, on an afternoon summer interview with a local personality on radio, mentioned after the visit by Homeland Security and FEMA training here locally that he was worried what they're going to have to do with the splinter groups in the local community.
Yeah, I was wondering. I remember hearing about that. Now, when you say locally, what part of the state are you from?
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Oh, Coeur d'Alene, okay. Yes, I remember reading about that and hearing about some of the aftermath there. And to answer your question, every entity that is involved in law enforcement or emergency response is hardwired into the Homeland Security system. Every institution of higher learning, from the university system here in Idaho down to the online colleges that you can enroll in, or courses that you take at a learning annex, every institution of higher education is receiving grant money to cultivate various majors and various courses in Homeland Security. That's the growth stock right now. Our growth stock educationally is not in training engineers, although NASA's talking about going back to the moon in a matter of a decade or so. It's not in cultivating people who are adept at the various arts of agriculture or technology or in manufacturing. Right now, the biggest single growth stock in education is Homeland Security, and your typical college curriculum now is becoming top-heavy with programs that are intended to develop people who would end up manning the parapets here on behalf of the Homeland Security state. And there are huge amounts of money that are being thrown at cash-hungry universities. They're always cash-hungry. And no matter how big their budgets are, how big their endowments are, they're always cash-hungry. To try to bring them in as, if you will, consorts of the Homeland Security Department. I've got a friend who's physicist, professor, a PhD physicist down at Arizona State University, who's been telling me for about 10 years about some things that have been going on in that realm. Before it was called the Homeland Security Department, they're already laying the groundwork. And you talk about proprietary organizations of the Blackwater ilk. Of course, there are five or six major ones, and all of them have farm teams. It's difficult to trace the pedigree of these entities with any degree of accuracy because they do tend to change their names and change their profiles, and they tend to be somewhat subtle in the way they market themselves. But for every entity like Blackwater, you've got a whole network of farm teams the same way that a Major League Baseball team has farm teams. And the tendrils of that system reach down very, very deeply into local communities. I mean, Coeur d'Alene's not really a small community by Idaho standards, but living here in Payette, which is a small community by anybody's standards, I don't doubt for a second that if I were to go out and pull up the roots of the local police department, the local jail, and so forth, take a look at the people who are involved in making pitches to recruit some of these folks, that I would find that people of the sort we're describing are very active, beating the bushes even in a community this size. It just stands to reason when there's that much money in the system and there's that big of an engineered demand for that type of services, they're going to be looking everywhere they can and trying to get as many people implicated in what's going on as possible.
Well, your observations being so journalistically accurate, unfortunately, I would only add and request a very close review of YRS as just a small example of the growth industry in law enforcement at every academic community throughout the country that Mr. Prince and AIPAC and the Republican Democrats have in mind for Bosniaization, Balkanization of what their fantasy of Mr. McCain would be for the next 100,000 years.
Wow. Yeah.
And that would give you some small idea how or why the police chief of this community, any more than the sheriff of this community, who wasn't available when they came in here and raided the Liberty Mint for $20 million, were not available any more than the meeting over at the junior college here when they had their boots on the ground strongly supporting Post's relationship with backup. Very, very telling. If you get a chance, Chautauqua Rising 2006 will tell equally sad story in a journalistically fictional fashion that barely touched on the Missouri 20 of Lincoln County, Missouri, in which Jeremiah the Serpent Nixon, the next proposed governor of the state of Missouri, trashed the Constitution and the appropriate constitutional lien authority of the citizen in regard to rogue judges and the ideology of all of this tyranny. Very sad story, but I thank you gentlemen so very much. And Mark, I hope you give me a chirp. I'm really curious about that CAMA situation. Bless you both. Bye-bye.
Bless you, Bill.
Thank you for calling, Bill.
Mark, could I make a very quick point that I neglected to make in an early segment that Bill sort of brushed up against, and that has to
do
with...
Yeah, I'll mention we have another caller, and we're coming up on a break. Actually, this would be a very good time. We have CJ in Missouri. Just hang on there, CJ. Go on, Will.
Here at in Idaho, the police officer training academy is called POST. It's called POST most places. That stands for Peace Officer. Good heavens, Peace Officer Selection and Training, I think. But IPOST had a graduation ceremony. IPOST is the Idaho Post Academy for police officers last December, and the motto of every graduation ceremony is chosen by the graduating class, and the motto chosen last December was, don't suffer from PTSD, go out and cause some. PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder. It's the sort of thing that combat veterans experience. It's a horrible psychological condition. It results when somebody is assaulted and faces a mortal fear for his life, or whether somebody is subject to a vague sense that his life is in danger for a protracted period of time. So you have this group of police officers who supposedly are commissioned to go out and protect and serve the public, whose credo as they're receiving the mantle of police authority is to go out and cause some post-traumatic stress disorder. That became something of a scandal, but nowhere near as big a scandal as it should have been. It migrated into the papers.
And where is this, Will, exactly?
The Idaho Police Officer Service Training Academy, and I believe it's, I think it's in Pocatello. I'll have to go back and check, but that's the State Police Training Academy when they had the graduation ceremony last December. Don't suffer from PTSD. Go out and cause some. And
don't get a headache. Give someone else a headache. Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, don't go out and get shell shock. Go out and inflict some shell shock on people.
Amazing. We do have a few minutes here. CJ in Missouri, are you with us? CJ in Missouri, a caller?
Thank you for taking my call, Mark.
Oh, it's our pleasure. What would you like to add?
Well, is it appropriate at this moment to refer to the Stasi in East Germany?
Yeah, we talked about that just a little bit ago, and the way they enlist informants and whatnot in a more tyrannical approach to law enforcement.
Right. Mark, I lived there during that time. I saw the Stasi up close and personal, you know, in your face. And I see America rapidly becoming a police state. And as I said, the reason is that I lived there, and I spent time in East Berlin, and I saw what they did, and they would put a bullet in your brain and ask questions later. And to an extent, our airports have become very much like East Berlin, and everyone was an informant. You could trust no one, not even your own family, your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your children. And the only people that smiled were very tiny children because they didn't know any better. And
yeah.
Everything in the lives of the East Germans was totally controlled. And frankly, it is becoming like that in America today. Most Americans are frankly so desensitized that they're not even aware that they have lost their freedom. In East Berlin, people were constantly trying to escape. Many died. We Americans, Mark, are rapidly losing our freedoms. We must return our nation to a free constitutional republic. Freedom must come first, not security.
I
would urge your listeners to stand on Psalm 91, the prayer of protection.
Amen.
I could not agree. Is it not true, CJ, that Americans are so gradually introduced to tyranny that they scarcely know what's going on?
Exactly.
I hate to use the worn-out cliche of boiling the frog very slowly, but it actually illustrates the problem very well. But it's so true. All our transactions, everything we do is cataloged and monitored and recorded somewhere. We can scarcely go out the door without somebody knowing about it in a more official realm, not just our next door neighbors or something like that.
Exactly.
If you don't mind my asking, in what function were you there in East Germany? Were you a student, or were you a tourist, or were you working there? Or
no, I was married, and my husband was in the Foreign Service.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you would have been in a pretty good position to know.
How'd you get sentenced to serve in East Germany?
We got hardship pay.
Well, I would hope so.
Literally.
What is it, CJ, let me ask this question. What is it about Americans that besides this gradual introduction to tyranny where we don't, I mean, not that we don't protest, I guess we're protesting right now, right here on this show, but what is it about Americans that keeps them so docile?
Sodium fluoride in the water, that's one part of it. Hitler used it.
I don't doubt that.
I don't disagree.
They are desensitized. They're brain dead to the television. And Brittany and Angelina Jolie are far more important than losing their freedom. And unless we stand up and take a stand, we're going to lose our nation. We're going to lose our freedom. And we've got to make a difference, each and every one of us.
People, by and large, don't really feel a hunger for freedom if they're suffering from the dyspepsia of illusionary prosperity. And what I'm hoping, and this may be a forlorn hope and it might be a misguided one, is that as this economic catastrophe that's unfolding right now starts to bite and people realize that we've been living in the proverbial fool's paradise of easy credit and debt, and that's no longer a luxury that we can enjoy, that once they start to feel the legitimate hunger pangs of our real circumstances, they'll start developing an appetite for freedom as well as an appetite to be relieved of their hunger in a physical way.
Yes.
It could run the other direction. Historically, when somebody is really hungry, really desperate, along will come a tyrant who will promise them work, bread, and security, which was the trifecta offered by the National Socialists in Germany back in 1930 and 31, 32.
And like that also with the New Deal, yeah.
Exactly. And 1933 was really a terrible year. You had three countries succumbed to fascism. You know, Italy, National Socialist Germany, and the United States all were following basically the same program. And a few years later, they were at war with each other, which is part of the way it works as well. You know, that's another way that one of the major ways that governments enhance their power over their own subjects by keeping them either always at war or under the threat of war. And I do hope, however, that we might find ourselves in a situation where things will become so bad so quickly that's a strange thing to hope for, I know. They become so bad so quickly that the regime won't be able to pay a lot of the mercenaries it's now employing. They simply will not rally to the cause of the regime when it's necessary to enforce the will of our supposed superiors upon us. That may or may not happen, but that's a possibility. There are precedents in history where people have simply said, "Well, we're no longer going to carry out the orders of the people who have been cutting our paychecks because they're no longer paying us, and we'll simply find something else to do." But I do think that one of the things that CJ mentioned here with respect to this sense of satiation that Americans have experienced for so long has really dulled their perception of what's being done to them. As long as the beer remains cold in the refrigerator and the TV reception's okay, you can park a tank next to the typical American's home and he won't take notice of it.
True.
Yeah, except possibly to put flowers on it or make it part of his yard plan or something. Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, that is a very disturbing thing. There must be some very carefully laid out plans when you're trying to subdue and sort of hypnotize a mass audience, and just how fast you do it, and just how you go about doing it through scandalous infotainment through all the things that you mentioned. Well, you know, keeping us entertained, keeping us looking the other way when the tank is in the yard.
Yeah.
Well, CJ, thanks for calling. You can hold till after the following break if you would like. And you're listening to When Worlds Collide here on the Republic Broadcasting Network and our guest, William Norman Griggs. Stay tuned for one more segment.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say. Go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made. Go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
And we're back with When Worlds Collide with our guest, William Norman Grigg. I'm your host, Mark Anderson, on this relatively new show here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been talking to Will about many things, and including his book, Liberty in Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland. Will, where can people, listeners, get this book? How can they go about doing that?
The easiest way to get the book is to go to the Right Source. The web address is rightsourceonline.com. The Right Source is a web page maintained by the Welch Foundation, for which I work as editor-at-large. Once again, that's Right Source Online, one word, rightsourceonline.com. And at the top of the page, there's a banner ad for the book, Liberty and Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland Security State. Then if you scroll down about a third of the way down the first screen that you see, look at the left-hand side of the screen, you'll find my photograph. And there's a link to my daily blog. Actually, it's between 3 and 5 times a week that I update it, and it's called Pro Libertate, and that's a Latin phrase that means for freedom. And so if you're interested in reading the blog and ordering the book, the easiest way to do both is to go to the Right Source website. I should point out that my book will be available on Amazon probably within the next week or so.
That's wonderful news. Well, that's a very concise way of getting a hold of your book and reading your blog. Let me ask you this. Given all we've talked about, mainly talking now about the military realm overseas, mm-hmm. and all the circumstances, all the incredible demand on our armed forces for these prolonged... returning to the United States.
I didn't hear the last couple of sentences of your question. Could you repeat them, Mark?
Yeah, I think we had a little technical difficulty. What is your outlook on the prospects of conscription, a draft coming back?
I'd say that
the
we're probably looking something north of 75%, something of a 75% probability. Some form of conscription, most likely disguised as an anodyne national service program that would be an opportunity for young kids to serve their country either in a civilian capacity or with the Homeland Security Department or in the military as a condition of getting money for college or as a condition of being permitted to attend college. That those proposals are in the works. There's a chapter in my book devoted to the history and the probable future of conscription. And if the government can conscript you, if it can take physical control of your body to protect itself, that's the logic of conscription. The government presumes to be able to do that. You don't have freedom in any sense of the word. You go back to the 1860s when conscription was first imposed upon this country. Unfortunately, it was the South that did it first in the war between the states. Then the North followed suit. There was a 4th of July editorial in the New York Times at the time in 1863 about the so-called draft riots in New York. And what the New York Times said was that the logic of conscription is that the government has the right to take your body and your last dollar in its defense. Think about that for a second. We're told that the reason government exists is to protect us. Conscription says that we exist to protect the government.
That's truly amazing. And I would add, Will, is it not true there's such a thing as economic conscription where joblessness is so rampant that joining the military becomes almost the only option for our youth?
You know, that very much is the case. That's how you end up with people from places like West Virginia, which has historically been very economically depressed, or some places in Michigan. You know how badly Michigan has been hit by the downturn over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yes, I lived there most of my life. Very true. Well, this has been a very eye-opening and thought-provoking show with our guest, William Norman Gregg. And please check out his book at therightsourceonline.com. Did I get that right, Will?
Just rightsourceonline.com.
Simply rightsourceonline.com, where you can also read his blog. And we thank you, Will, for being on our show.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you all for listening to When Worlds Collide. I'm Mark Anderson, American Free Press writer. Check it out at AmericanFreePress.net. We'll see you next time on When Worlds Collide here on RBN. Thanks for listening.
Gasoline price.